often sing about heaven and how wonderful it's going to be. But you know, unless you and I have anchors here below, the chances of us making it will be very, very slim. You know, the Bible has a lot to really say about our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. I want you to turn this morning to the book of Acts, the 27th chapter. Acts chapter 27. Verse 25, the Bible begins to tell us of the Apostle Paul and his journey to Rome. Now, while Paul was in sail to Rome along with other prisoners, Paul had warned of the impending dangers of their voyage to Rome. But those who were in charge just totally disregarded what he had to say. And because of it, the ship met, if you will, with great tempest and damage and ultimately shipwreck. And the Bible says it was the 14th night, about midnight, that the shipmen deemed that they were near some country. They sounded and found the depth to be about 120 foot. And they went a little bit further and found it to be 90 feet. And fearing then that they would have fallen upon rocks or that the ship was going to crash, it was here that the Bible says that they cast out four anchors. You know, sometimes people describe life as a troubled sea. You and I are on a voyage every day. We are on the ship that hopefully is going to heaven. Hopefully that's where we're going to dock. But we're out there on a troubled sea every day, you and I. We have problems, we have pain, we have anxieties, one trouble right after another. And if it had not been for various anchors, you and I would continue to drift on that sea of life. So I want to talk to you this morning about anchors of the soul. I really believe that there are four definite anchors found within the Bible that will keep us close to God. You know, sometimes people always ask the question, well, why do we have anchors anyway? Well, if you know anything at all about anchors, you know that they do one of two things. An anchor will keep you from drifting. If you're out on the water somewhere and you're fishing or whatever you're doing, you drop anchor, you won't drift. You won't. Well, the Bible says that if we drop these anchors that we're going to talk about here this morning, they will keep us from drifting into sin. You know, I don't really believe people just habitually go into a sinful walk with the devil. I believe that it is very gradual, and I really believe that it is something that people just kind of drift in. It just happens. You know, we give in to sin one time and then we give in another time, and before you know it, we're sailing in the devil's boat. Well, not only does an anchor keep you from drifting into sin, it will keep you close to God. Have you ever really been around people that are really close to God? People that really know the Lord? I heard about a missionary one time. He had gone into a foreign country, and as he began to ask various people about the Lord and about the gospel, he came and knocked on one door. And when he came to the door, he asked the man of the house, who had a little boy about 4 years old standing beside him. He asked him, he says, "Sir," he says, "I'm here to share the gospel with you." He said, "Do you know Jesus?" And the man said, Oh yes, we go to church. We go to church and we're not interested." And he slammed the door in the face of the missionary. Well, the story went on was after the missionary had left, the little boy looked up at his father and he said, "Daddy, do we know Jesus?" And he said, "Why, yes, son, you know we go to church. You know we go to church. We're religious folks." And he said, "No, he didn't ask, did we go to church? He said, do we know Jesus?" And you know what? That really is the question of life and living, isn't it? It's not do you go to church. It's not do you read your Bible necessarily. It is not do you have fellowship with those who share the faith that we have in this world. But the real issue is do you know Jesus? Let me tell you why that's true. The word know in the Bible, especially in the book of John, the 8th chapter and verse 24, the Bible says that you shall know, or verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, that word know there does not mean that you are acquainted with certain knowledge of the Bible. It doesn't necessarily mean that you are just aware of what the pages of this book say. But that word know in the original language means that you are intimately involved in the Word of God. And it means that you are intimately involved in a relationship with Christ. And so the question I would ask you this morning is, do you know Jesus? Do you really know him? Do you have a relationship with Christ? Think with me on the four anchors that I really believe that you and I ought to have in our relationship with God. They will keep you from drifting into sin, and they will keep you close to God. I would tell you, first of all, there is the anchor of hope. In the book of Hebrews 6 and verse 19, the Bible says, "Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast." Have you ever thought about how dismal life would really be if we didn't have hope? Now, we were singing about going to heaven a moment ago, and we were talking about the fact that we all want to go to heaven and how wonderful it's going to be when we get there. But you know what causes us to hold on to that is because we have hope in Christ. Did you know if you were to ask the average person in the church, are you going to heaven when you die? Did you know most people will not say in the affirmative, "Oh, yes, I'm going." I've had very few that would actually tell me in a very definitive way, "Yes, I'm going to heaven." But most of them would say, "I hope I get to heaven. I'm hoping that I make it." And you know what? I'm hoping that I make it too. I'm hoping that you make it. I'm hoping that we all make it into the presence of God. But the hope that I'm talking about is a hope that transcends this world. Paul says, if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. In other words, if we just had hope in this life and then we come to the end of the way and hope does not lie beyond the grave, then listen, life would be terrible, wouldn't it? It would be for me. I don't know about you. But I know the Bible says that we're to sorrow when people die. He said, Paul said in the book of 1 Thessalonians 4, he said, it's all right to really be upset when people die. But he said, don't you sorrow as those who have no hope. Hope is an anchor of the soul. When Paul wrote the Ephesian letter in chapter 2 and verse 12, he referred to those who had no hope because they were without God in this world. I can tell you for sure that people that are not Christians have no hope. Now, you may have a shallow hope in your mind, but it's not a realistic hope. It's not a founded hope upon the Word of God, but it is a shallow hope. It is a facade, so to say. The Bible says, however, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, that you and I have been begotten unto a lively hope. You know, we often sing that song, "My hope is built upon nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness." That is the anchor that we have this morning as God's people. That's the thing that really makes you unique. It's the thing that makes me unique in this world of sin around us. And all the ungodly things that are going on is the fact that you and I have hope beyond the grave. That people that do not know Jesus have no hope. None. You know, through the years, I have been called upon to minister to people who were Christians and those who were not. And I've preached probably as many or more funerals for people that are not in Christ and those who are out of Jesus, who I really believe in my own heart have no hope beyond the grave. Now, I've conducted that memorial service, and you know, I'm not trying to create a false hope for people, but I have tried to sympathize and empathize with people at the death of their loved ones. But I can tell you there have been many, many times when I would walk away from that grave, and I'm not the judge and jury, but the Word of God is true, and the Bible says there is one immutable thing about God, and that is that He cannot lie. And God is not going to save a man in his sin. He will only save a man from his sin. But I've often thought how tragic it is to walk away from the grave of one who died out of Jesus simply because he had no relationship with Christ. Paul says that you and I as God's people can rejoice in hope, Romans 12 and verse 12. That Christ is in us, the hope of glory, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. Let me ask you this morning, is hope an anchor of your soul? Is it really? Do you know Jesus? Do you really know him? Let me tell you another anchor, and not only is hope an anchor, and it is, but God's providence is an anchor. Did you know that nowhere in the Bible Does God ever promise to supply your food, your clothing, your shelter, to watch over you, to provide you with the greatest health care in all the world? If you're not a Christian? Now, God's promised to do that. David said, I've been young, I've been old, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or God's people begging bread. I want you to think about the first of that. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. God is watching over you. God is going to bless His anointed. That is, those who are Christians, those who are children of God. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tried to make that precisely clear. In the sixth chapter of the book of Matthew, beginning in verse 24 through 34, he talks about the fact that we don't even have to take thought for what we're going to eat or what we're going to drink, nor yet for the body what we're going to put on. He says, now, these things God will provide for you. Now, when he says take no thought for, what he really meant by that was the fact that we don't have to be overly burdened by those things because God is watching over us and He is going to supply your need. The Hebrew writer said that all of our needs are met in Christ Jesus our Lord. Have you ever thought about it, you as a Christian? You know why you can get up in the morning and you have food on your table? Do you know why you get up in the morning and you have clothes in your closet? Do you know why you get up in your morning and in the morning and you have been able to sleep in a bed in a house? It was because God provided it for you. You didn't do it. We talk about all the things that we do. Sometimes women will talk about what a great provider my husband is. Let me tell you something. God is the provider. He is the one who provides. He is the one who meets every needs. And He will meet your need as well. He is the one who meets all needs for those who are Christians. When the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Philippians, he reminded the Philippian church also that we don't have to be anxious in anything, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and He will supply your need. The Word of God teaches again that all of our needs are met in Christ. I can't think of a greater anchor. No, I mean that sincerely. I'm just thankful every day that when I get out of bed, I don't really have to worry. I'm not anxious. I can trust in God. I know He's going to be there. The book of Proverbs, the third chapter, says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths." Not only does He provide for you, and I know that there are people who go to the extreme and they preach a health and wealth gospel. They preach this concept that God is going to bless you and you're going to just be overflowing with money and things in this world. God didn't do that. God never promised to supply your greed. He only promised to supply your need. Now, a lot of people are greedy in this world. I don't know if you know that or not. A lot of people are just downright greedy. And God does not bless your greed, but your need. I believe it with all of my heart. I don't believe God's people are going to go hungry. I don't believe God's people are going to go without clothes. I don't believe they're going to go without shelter. And you know what? God even goes so much further, even beyond that. He blesses us with so many wonderful things. And you know what? I think the less greedy we are, the greater blessings that come to us. He blesses us with health. Have you ever thought about the fact that you're here today and you say, well, no, I've been taking all kind of vitamins and, you know, let me tell you something. You are here today in body because God has blessed your body. Do you know why cancer leaves a body? Oh, you could, listen, people undergo treatment all day long. And I'm not downing or trying to eradicate taking treatment for physical problems. Even Luke was a doctor, one of the ones who wrote one of the great books of the Bible and wrote also the book of Acts. But there is a greater power. There is a great physician. His name is Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I'd rather trust in Dr. Jesus more than I had in anyone else. I don't know about you. And sometimes we call upon him as a last resort when medical science cannot take care of our problem. And you know what? We ought to be going to him first. He ought to be our anchor. God's providence is a great anchor to me. It is. And all of our needs are met in him. Be careful for nothing. What Paul says is, don't worry about it. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. A lot of people say, well, I'll just sit down and not do anything. God's going to bless my... No, that's not going to happen. When we're out doing our part, and when we're out doing the will of God, and we're trying to accomplish what God has asked us to do, and the Bible says that if a man does not provide for his own, he is worse than an infidel, and he has denied the faith. That does not say that a man can sit on his gluteus maximus all day long and not do anything. He has to get up and he has to start doing what God has called upon him to do. And when he is doing that, God is going to bless us. It's the same thing with medical science. You know, God gives doctors wisdom and knowledge to be able to help us. There is a combination of science and spirituality that bring about healing. Jesus knew that. He taught it, urged it. But for those who preach a health and wealth gospel, everything's going to be all right. God's going to supply your greed. No, not so at all. I don't believe that. The Word of God just does not teach it. And if that's the anchor that you're holding on to, my friend, it'll never help you out on the troubled sea of life. But then there's another anchor, and that is the church. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, you know, the church is really unimportant. I've had people tell me, well, I'll just be a Christian and the church doesn't mean anything to me. Let me tell you something. If the church meant everything to Jesus and he gave his life for the church, surely it means something to you. The Bible in the book of Acts says that he shed his blood for the church. That's you and me, isn't it? Is the church important? Do you know that the church was the most important thing to Jesus? Did you know that? What's important to you? Do you know Jesus? What's the most important thing? If you could gauge it on a scale of 1 to 10, how far down the list would Jesus and his church be? He probably wouldn't be number one with a lot of folks. I'm afraid that Jesus might be somewhere in the middle and the church might be somewhere a little bit further down. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I've asked Sam to come lead us in that great hymn to remind us of the anchor we call the church. Let's sing together.
Number 555. Let's be standing.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Singing Alleluia, Alleluia. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Be seated, please.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. Isn't that really what Christ taught in the book of Matthew 6 and verse 33? To seek ye first his kingdom. A lot of times the kingdom goes on the back burner, doesn't it? Well, the church should be an anchor. Let me tell you why the church is so important. You know, there have been a lot of times in our lives, had it not been for the church, we probably would have caved in. But because of the church and because of the support we received from fellow members of the body of Jesus, we were able to make it through. I'm going to tell you something, because I see it every day. I see people who are what we call unchurched, people that are out in the world, that have no connection with God. They don't know Jesus. They don't know the church. And you know what? There seems to be a feeling of desperation for folks like that. But for people that are Christians, I have seen them many, many times who found that strength. And you don't get sick, you go to the hospital, you got members of the church around you, you're having financial problems, people are there to help you. You know, you're having difficulties in your marriage, there are people there to strengthen you and lift you up and put their arms around you and embrace you and love you. Folks, when you don't have the church, you don't have that anchor. The church is so important. And Jesus said that it is an anchor that will never, ever give way. For in the book of Matthew 16:18, Jesus said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. I'm going to tell you, the gates of hell prevail against a lot of things in this world. They prevail against people who do the wrong things. I'm going to tell you something. Not the church. The church will always be there. It may be a remnant, but it will always be there. And the Bible says, greater foundation can no man lay than that which is laid in Christ Jesus our Lord, 1 Corinthians 3:11. And when the angels announced the coming of Jesus Christ in the book of Luke chapter 1 and 33, why they said, for born to you this day in the city of David is a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and of his kingdom, the church, there shall be no end. There shall be no end. The church is so important. That's why we ought to love it. That's why we ought to give to it. That's why we ought to support it in every way. That's why we ought to encourage it. That's why we ought to maintain our enthusiasm and our zeal for the kingdom of God. In the church, you will find people who love you. People don't always agree with you, but you will find people who love you. Let me tell you something. Jesus does not always agree with us, but he loves us. Just the same. And the Bible even says the church is a family, 1 Timothy 3:15. And if we're a family, we ought to love one another. We ought to be less critical of each other and more supportive of each other, lifting each other to where we need to be. But then there's one last anchor I want to share with you this morning, and that is the Word of God. The Bible is such an anchor. You know, I have had many copies. As a matter of fact, I've worn out numerous copies of the Bible through my 40 years of preaching Jesus and teaching his word. I have literally marked up those Bibles. I still have them. I couldn't get rid of them. I wouldn't throw it away. But I mean, it was so threadbare. But you know what I learned? I learned that generally a Bible that is falling apart belongs to a person who is not. And when you read your Bible, and I, you know what? You can tell almost. You go into the homes of people, you thumb through their Bible, it'll tell you a lot about that person. You can tell whether they read that Bible much at all or whether it's just for decoration. Do you know Jesus? Do you know his word? The Bible is a tremendous anchor. It is. When all else fails around you, this book gives you great comfort. It does. When all is said and done, this book will give you greater hope than anything in all the world. It will. That's why David said in Psalms 119 and verse 89, forever, O Lord, is thy word settled in heaven. And he said, it is a lamp to my feet and a light to my pathway. Someone wrote these poetical words. My soul in said exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress. But I heard the sweet voice saying, make me your choice. And I entered the haven of rest. For I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wild seas no more. might the tempest may sweep or the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I'm safe evermore. And how grateful we ought to be today that our anchor is Jesus Christ and that we have hope in Him. We do have hope. He is our anchor. And I'm glad to tell you He is my anchor every day. He is. He's the one I hold on to. When finances collapse, when all around us gives way, He is all, as the song says, my hope and my stay. You're going to have trials in your life. They'll be there. But you know what? The person who really has dropped anchor in Jesus is the person who doesn't get frantic. He is the person that doesn't throw up his hands in despair. But He is the one who can be very, very calm on that sea that rages. Hope Stout, you may not know her, but what a beautiful name. Hope. Hope Stout died recently from osteosarcoma. You may not even know what that is. I didn't. But it's a type of bone cancer. Amazingly, she leaves behind a $1 million legacy for other seriously ill young patients. You may have heard her story. It's amazing because Hope was only 12 years old. When the Make-A-Wish, and you've heard of that no doubt many, many times, now young people make their wish in their dying hours. Make-A-Wish Foundation of Central and Western North Carolina offered Hope an opportunity to have a dream come true. She asked how many other local children were waiting for a wish. And Hope was told that there were 155 on the list. And so Hope expressed her desire to see every one of those wishes come true. And the Make-A-Wish Foundation determined it would cost $1 million to fulfill 155 wishes. And Hope's hometown began fundraising while all of them were working, from the least to the greatest. And on January the 16th of this year, the goal was surpassed by a Celebration of Hope fundraiser. In December, a radio interviewer was moved to tears as Hope described how her family had supported her during the hospital stay while some of the other young patients didn't have family with them at all. She talked openly about how her family's faith in God and the church had helped them through this ordeal. What an anchor. One young girl's lovingly supersized dream sparked a campaign to ensure that all 155 wishes would become reality. And Hope's dream, well, it didn't die with her. It's comforting her family and touching more lives nationwide than Hope would have ever imagined. She believed that anything was possible with God, and that her illness, whether God took away her cancer or not, and if He chose to bring her home, that her illness could become an encouragement and a blessing to others. Children have an endearing, unsophisticated faith in God that He often uses to direct adults back to the simplicity of faith in action. In this instance, He used a girl named Hope. Hope, it is an anchor. I hope it's your anchor this morning. I hope it's not just something that you're saying, but that's something that is very real to you. And you know what? If you know Jesus, it can be very real to you. Where are your anchors this morning? Is your anchor to your money? Is your anchor to your home? To your automobile? Is your anchor to your stock? Is your anchor to someone else? your anchor to our nation? Where is your anchor? Where is your anchor this morning? Let me suggest you drop anchor in Jesus. And this is where it begins, right here. And so if you understand what I've been talking about here all morning, how important anchors really are, and you really believe the Bible is a great anchor and that hope is a great anchor, and you really believe the providence of God is a great anchor and that the church is a great anchor, hey, you really believe that, here's where you need to start. You need to drop anchor right here. And if you believe in Jesus Christ to be the Son of God and you realize that there's no hope without Him, there is none, folks, none. That's why it's so important that people become Christians, followers of Jesus, not to what the word Christian means, follower of Christ. And if you really believe that this morning, with a penitent heart, would you come to be baptized for the remission of your sins and enter into Jesus and then allow Him to place you within His church family and allow Him to instill within you the hope that you desire and to realize that He is providing for you every day and will from this moment on. Till the day that you die. Maybe you've lost your hope this morning. You can find it again right where you left it off. Let us stand and let us sing.
Have you a heart that's weary?